road was quickly drawing near. But as we pray for deliverance, the victory would begin. For when we call upon the Lord, we summon all of heaven. For you are who the Lord is looking for. For this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Stay on your knees. This is where the battle is won. Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray on. When Daniel faced the lions, from worshiping the Lord, and it seemed there was no hope at all for what would be so. But when we stand on holy ground, our smallest prayer is heard. Instead of on our circumstance, our eyes are on the Lord. Pray on, for you are who the Lord is looking for. Pray on, for this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Stay on your knees, for this is where the battle is won. Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray on. When your questions go unanswered, and your prayers may seem in vain, they don't seem to make a difference, they don't seem to make a change. Rest assured, God knows your needs, and he hears each time you pray. Your prayers are reaching heaven, and the answer's on the for this will tear those mighty strongholds down. There's no better place for you to be than seeking the Father prayerfully. Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray
morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I want to thank the St. Paul sisters for that beautiful rendition. We need to pray on. That's the only way we can get close to our Lord and our Savior. We have a Lord, when we pray, he listens. Not only he listens, he can do something about it. You can come to me and, you know, tell me things, but I may be unpowerful to do anything about it. But the Lord can do anything and everything. This morning, I want to speak to you about worship. Worship in spite of your hurting. Worship in spite you are hurting. If you turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 1, verse 13 to 19. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Job chapter 1, verse 13 to 19. One day, while Job's children were having a family get-together at their older brother's house, a servant came running breathlessly to Job's house and said to him, "We were plowing the field with the oxen. The donkeys were gazing nearby when suddenly the Sabins came riding up and attacked us. They took all your cattle and donkeys. When we resist, they kill your servants in cold blood. And I am the only one who escaped to tell you." He had hardly finished speaking when another servant came running to the house and said, "We were out in the field when a severe thunderstorm came up. Lightning struck and rolled along the ground, killing all the sheep and shepherds, and I am the only one. I am the only one left alive to come and tell you what happened." The second servant had hardly finished speaking when another came running up and said, "Three raiding parties of Chaldeans attacked us and took all the camels, and I am the only one who escaped to came and tell you." The third servant had hardly finished speaking when another servant came running up and said, "Your children were having a banquet at your oldest son's house when suddenly a fierce twister came blowing in off the desert and struck the house with such a force that it collapsed, killed everyone inside. I am the only one who got out alive." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your power. We thank you, you have kept us alive. We thank you for optimism to face our obstacle. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your promises. Father God, you spoke to us all week long. Oh God, for that we simply say thank you. We thank you that early this morning when the sweet scent sunshine tiptoed across our faces, that we were able to realize we were recipient of fresh mercy. And Lord, we don't take it for granted. God, we thank you for Brooklawn Church. Speak to our hearts. May your voice be heard this morning. Now, God, if you can breathe on us one more time, our simple prayer this morning is that you will have time and you will have thine own way. You are the potter and we are the clay. Thank you, Lord, for being present with us. We pray this prayer in the name of the one who's still able to turn water into wine. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Worship in spite of difficult time. This morning, I know you have question. Brother Ron, how can I worship? How do I offer sacrifice of praise of God when my day is bad and I feel terrible? How can someone worship God when he or she lost her only child to a tragic car accident? How can someone praise God and she's going through a terrible divorce? I'm here this morning to tell you, I love Job's story. I don't know about you. Job's story is always a source of encouragement for me when things are not going well. Job's story taught me, always teach me, no matter where I step in, no matter what I'm going through in life, not to let it take my worship away, no matter what it is. You will be surprised how God sometimes will sneak some revelation to you. You will be surprised how God can test you. It's funny how so many of us allow what we are going through rob us from worship the Lord. Church, it's time to master the ability to understand, even when we walk through various difficulties in our life, even when we walk in seasons that are not favorable, even when we walk to the terrain that is not comfortable, even when we find ourselves in valleys of struggle, even on mountaintop of misery, we cannot allow where we step in to take away our relationship with God. Don't let it take away the song that we used to sing. And the truth is, some of us are not in worship this morning simply because everywhere we step has been peaceful and beautiful. Some of us, only for those who can be honest, can admit every place they have stepped in have not felt good, has not looked good. But the learning that no matter where they step, not to let it steal their worship. The problem with some of church folk, they let what they're going through ruin their worship with God. Some of us stop coming to church because somebody says something that you don't like. You better get out of your feeling and understand worship has absolutely nothing to do with what you're walking through, but it has everything to do with the one walking with you. See that the difference is, we are not in the church because all our needs are met. We are not here because of where we live. We have learned that to not let where we step take away our worship to God. We have learned that not to let bad news take away our song. That is the beauty to worship the Lord. Church worship is so important. When God first called the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said he wanted them to come out to worship. But Eugene read Exodus 4, verse 22 and 23. God says to Pharaoh, "The Lord God of the Hebrews, Israel, is like a firstborn son to me. I want you to let him go so he can come and worship me. If you refuse to let him go, I will not hesitate to take the life of your firstborn son." So I find it interesting. I don't want you to miss this. The children of Israel have been slaves for 430 years. They've been abused, mistreated, and looked down upon, and yet God stressed to freeing them isn't for freedom. You will think he will say, "I'll call you that I might set you free." No, he did not say that. The primary reason God called the children of Israel from Egypt is to worship. I have called you to serve. It says something about the nature of God, the importance why God can call us out of Egypt that we might worship him. When you sit in church on Sabbath, something ought to happen. You should not come and worship and go home the same way you came. We ought to say, God, you are awesome. As long as you are on the throne, you're still worthy to be praised. We ought to learn how to worship even when we are wanted. That's why I love God's, I love Job's story, because he tried to move our faith to another level. I noticed by reading Job's story that his life is not line up with the Old Testament scripture, because God, before Job, had given a promise to Abraham that if we do good, good things will happen. If we treat people right, God will treat us right. If we sow good seeds, we will reap good harvests. If I follow God's rule, if I join a church and I return my tithe and pay my offering, if I put God first, if I'm truthful, I don't lie, I don't steal, then immediately God will bless everything I do. Because I'm doing the right thing, God will bless who bless you, blesses me. God will curse who curses me, because I'm doing the right thing. If I do good, good thing will happen. But in the case of Job's story, everything turned upside down. Job was a good guy. The Bible says it. He turned away from evil. Job gave back to the community. He loves God, fear God, raise his children the right way. Still, bad thing happened to him. Job was the finest deacon, first to be in church and last one to leave. He came to Bible study every Tuesday. Job was a faithful tither. Job was an upright man. Job was so careful, if his children goes to party, he will offer a sacrifice in case they had do something bad. This is what the Bible says. So why will God allow a man like this have to deal with so many tragedies? This what Bible scholars said, when you have to wrestle with the goodness of God and the evil of the world. Some of us in your life had to ask God, why? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do you let the hell raisers get all the blessings? God, if you are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, why don't you stop some of the evil in the world? God, you are so loving and you have the power to stop all these bad things. Why did you let them happen? In this world, you are going to wrestle with some questions when you lose your job, when you've been given and your finances still keep going lower and lower, when the doctor tells you you have cancer and at that stage there's nothing he can do, when you lost your loved one, sometimes you wonder, God, what is going on? Church, look at Job's story. God asked Satan one day, hey, where have you been? He said, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, I have, but there is a problem. You put an edge around him. You have a fence so high, I can't get to him. He said, hey, God, the only reason Job is faithful to you is because you've been good to him. You have Job fenced in. Take some of his stuff and see if he still blesses you. Church, too many of us have what you call interest faith. Some of us only working with God to obtain a prize or to avoid punishment. So you really need to see what you can get out of it. But when you walk with the Lord for this interest reason, you say, God, I don't know when you're going to bless me. God, I don't know when you're going to answer my prayer. But God, I don't serve you because of your gift. I serve you because of who you are. God, if you decided not to do another thing for me, you have already done enough. And I will work with you just for the sake of working with you. That should be our position when we serve the Lord. But Ken, I can testify that having him close to me has made a difference in my life. Church, we should be looking for his presence, not his present. Because in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. You see, stuff will run out, but his spirit will always there. His spirit will always stay. Church, have you ever asked yourself how Job can still worship God while he was wounded? How can he worship in spite of what he heard? In one setting, Job received four reports, one after another. Before the last report can even stop, the Bible says while they were still speaking, another report came in. A wind blew, knocked down the house and killed all 10 of his children, 3 daughters, 7 sons. What a blow. One day. But in spite of what he heard, then Job arose and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground and praised God. You see, in the old time when pagan were grief, they would cut themselves and put tattoos on their body. But when a Christian grief in the old time, they will tear their clothes and get on the ground and praise God. So even on Job grief, he decided to be faithful. And this is the only thing that faithful people does if they go to their knees when they are in difficult time. So even in grief, he still honor God. The Bible says after all he heard, he still have the nerve to worship. If Job could worship after all that he heard, because he lost everything, including his children, then what's wrong with some of us? With our little trivial stuff we're dealing with. And then we stop coming to church. And then we stop praising the Lord. Church, don't let those little trivial things discourage you from serving the Lord. I remember when I first got the news that Brother Martha's house was on fire and I ran to his house. You couldn't believe what I saw. I think I was the second person to went to the house from the church. Brother Martel still have a smile on his face. The guy just lost his house and everything inside. And I said, it's only the peace of God that can bring this smile on his face, because everything is gone. Church, this is the Lord and Savior that we serve. No matter what's going on, you may be experiencing financial difficulties. We need to remember Philippians 4, verse 9. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, and no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious of workers of iniquity, because God said he will cut it down. We should learn how to worship in spite of what we heard. We should learn how to worship because we are still here. Job sat in the ground and says, this is what he starts saying when he worshiped. He said, naked I came into the world, naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Job said, I lost everything. I cried a lot. As long as I still got breath in my body, and I got enough to still worship the Lord. Do you have breath this morning on you? Maybe that's what the psalmist said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Not that has a car, not that has a house, not that has a family, but everything that has breath praise the Lord. Worship in spite you are hurting. Worship because you are still here. Worship because you got some help. Job used the word Yahweh. Why? It means that he who caused to become, he that caused to become, all that means is wherever you are, God can cause it to become something else. Whatever you got, God can cause it to become something different. So when you are weak, he can cause you to become strong. When you are broke, he can cause you to be bold. When you are lonely, he can cause you to have a friend. God can change our situation. Hold on, help is on the way. God can take that thing all the way, can turn that thing all the way around. He can dry our tears away. He can hold your hand and guide you. Church, we need to know how to trust God, even when we can trace him. The enemy can take your stuff, but he cannot take your soul. Even if there is no fruit in the vine, even if the field will not yield no grain, yet will I praise him. Sometime you have to have a yet praise in spite of what you are going through. Church, whatever season you are in, have a yet I will praise the Lord attitude. Listen, it may be hard and uncomfortable, but God has never been defeated and will never be defeated. And as long as you are walking with him, you won't be either. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. Romans 8 verse 37 says, despise all these things. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Habakkuk 3 verse 17 and 19. Even though the fig tree does not bear no fruits, and there are no grapes in the vine, even though the olive crops fail and the field produce no wheat, even though all the flocks die and there are no cattle in the barns, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, God says, O Israel, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not be drawn. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you. Psalm 37 verse 23-24 says, the Lord directs the step of the godly. He delights in every details of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the end. Church, what a wonderful God that we serve. So many promises for us to cleanse. And yet, I know we are frail human beings. Sometimes, we don't use the promises of the Lord. We go